We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
A Radio.com sports station. And now, Chuck and Winkler. Two townies talking Wisconsin sports. Covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
8 o'clock hour, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan indeed, live from 6A to 6P today. It might be a working day for some of you. It's definitely a working day for us. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola, alongside Kevin Holden of CBS 58. Evan Heffelfinger is here. Chuck, Bart, Ryan, I think are all back next week. I know Bart is. You think I'd know this, but whatever. It's that time of the year. We all know it. Vacations. Everyone's taking vacations. You might be on your way up north. Maybe you're going up to the Dells today. Maybe you're going to Door County. Maybe you're getting a tour of the Green Bay Packer facilities. That's always something fun to do. I haven't done that in a while. Got to put that on the list of things to do this summer. It's finally feeling like summer out there, which is nice. But, yeah. Where did Kevin go? Evan Heffelfinger. Where did Kevin go? Is he okay?
I don't know. Do you think I should go check? Or?
Yeah, go check. Kevin tore his Achilles, and so he's on a scooter. And I feel really bad for him because he had another similar injury to this where he was on a scooter. And now, I don't know. I hope he didn't get like locked out because that wouldn't be good. We got a lot to get to. We're going to do 7 for Kevin coming up. It is the version of 5 for Frames. You hear 5 for Frames all the time. Bart throws 5 pressing questions at Chuck, going inside his mind. What we're going to do with Kevin here coming up here in just a minute once Kevin comes back. Also, I want you guys to get in on today's Twitter question. Use the hashtag CWTickets on Twitter and tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan. You guys saw Joey Chestnut win again in the hot dog eating contest yesterday. He did not break the record of 74 hot dogs, though. It was 71. But want to know from you guys, is competitive eating a sport? Is it? Because we talked about this in the first hour of the show. There's a lot of things that these guys do to get ready for these kind of things. So maybe we could talk a little bit about this during 7 for Kevin, but is competitive eating a sport? Please give your answer why. And if you give a good reasoning as to why it is or why it isn't, we'll give you some Summerfest tickets. Because really, Summerfest is almost over, which is hard to believe. But again, use the hashtag CWTickets, your answer at 105.7FM, The Fan. You can also follow me on Twitter at Radio Joe Sports. I'm on the Bill Michaels Show weekdays 10 to 2. Kevin Holden. 321-CUE, Kevin. That's where you can follow Kevin. Where is he? Is he okay?
He was out in the bullpen talking to big-time Mike McGivern.
Hey, get in here. Come on. We got a show to do.
McGivern.
What's up?
I got hit with big time. I went out.
Doesn't he know you're doing a show?
I went out for 20 seconds to get something to drink, and I ran into McGivern, and he's the best. He really is.
He is the best. He is a good guy.
But McGivern literally was... He looked at my leg and he said, "Softball injury?" And so then I got a bunch of softball stories from him, which was funny.
You did the Bill Michaels where sometimes Bill will go down the hallway and then end up talking to someone. And the next thing you know, the show is back. And then I'm
having
taking control of the show until he actually comes back. So I'm kind of used to that. So it's good that you're back. It's good.
Literally, I'm like flipping the scooter around like, okay, gotta go.
All right, well, are you ready for 7 for Kevin?
I'm ready.
You ready for this?
Oh, yeah, you know it.
These questions have not been shown to Kevin Holden. There's going to be some baseball. There's going to be a college hoops question. College hoops in the month of July.
Oh, boy.
And we're going to continue this competitive eating thing. So let's lead this off. Seven for Kevin, seven burning questions for Kevin Holden. Question number one. Is the NL Central that good, or is it full of average ball clubs?
Man, have I been back and forth about this. Because there have been times where I'm like, no one wants this division. And the fact that the Cubs just won't step up, because the Brewers are still a first-place team, mostly because the Cubs just haven't stepped up. The Cubs are capable of being better than they are, too.
Right.
So I've come around, though, especially this week, to the idea that the Central really is that good. If you see what Pittsburgh did against the Astros, what they did against the other teams that they played recently, I mean, they've been putting up double-digit runs in multiple games. Like, it's a pretty decent team. Josh Bell is having another worldly year. The Reds are good. They have a decent lineup and a great rotation. This division's five teams deep. It's not Comedy Central. The records say Comedy Central, but it's not Comedy Central. There's five good teams.
You know who's bad against the Brewers?
Who that?
Josh Bell.
That's right. What an odd thing that is, too.
His numbers are bad against the Brewers this year.
And if you've seen him against his overall numbers,
they're like, unbelievable.
Yeah, he's having an incredible, incredible year.
Not as good as Christian Yelich, though.
That's right. Nobody is as good as Christian Yelich.
Well, now watch. Josh Bell will hit three home runs tonight.
No!
Watch.
I want no part of that.
I'll take the blame. But really, you look at the numbers, his splits are bad against the Brewers this year.
Bizarre.
So there's a positive, Brewer fans. All right, question number two. Will we see Travis Shaw in a Brewers uniform before the end of the month?
Ooh. Because that is a different animal than you know, September rosters expand. He'll get a chance to come back. I mean, that's obvious, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So for him to be back this month, he has to do something significant in AAA this month. Like in the next couple of weeks, he has to do something significant. The one thing that might change my mind about this is an injury. If somebody goes, heaven forbid I'm bringing this into the world, but if a Moustakas or someone went down, then they would be forced to bring him back. Otherwise, no. It's going to be the way it was with Santana. Maybe mid-August. Maybe later if it doesn't turn around for him. It's going to be a while.
Okay. So far, he really hasn't done anything. He's played, I think, in three games for AAA and as a hit. So
it's a deeply embedded slump. And there's a point where it gets beyond the physical ability to hit a baseball.
Yeah.
Because he can do that. But it's just there's so many mental aspects to the game.
One guy that has definitely underachieved for sure. Hopefully Travis Shaw figures it out. As much as I blasted the guy, he has been a key cog the last couple of years. Yeah. And I really hope he does, like you mentioned earlier in the show, Domingo Santana. I hope he's like Domingo Santana, where if he can be that kind of bat off the bench,
oh yeah,
I'll take it. I'll definitely take it. Question number three, as we do seven for Kevin, it is the five for frames version. Should the Brewers consider trading for a shortstop before the trade deadline?
I'd like the idea from a booster lineup standpoint. I don't like it from a you have to juggle everything else standpoint. If you trade for a shortstop, first of all, you don't have a roster spot to just hang on to Orlando Arcia. This is what we learned with Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
And with Hernan Perez, there's only four bench spots, so there's no chance that Arcia would have to go back to AAA if that happened, and that might be tough for him. I don't know if you're helping him if you do that.
Or he gets traded.
Oh, he could be in the trade.
It's like Jonathan Villar last year for Scope.
Right.
Bart Winkler still wishes Jonathan Villar were here.
He's been decent for Baltimore, and honestly, it just didn't work for Scope, right?
It didn't. It was just a colossal failure. I liked the trade when it happened.
Yeah, me too.
I had no problem with the trade.
I loved how they were stacking up offense. You could put great bats at second and third and get guys rest, and you'd have a good bat off the bench. It made sense, but
yeah,
Scope was just terrible, and he's been good for Minnesota. So the question is, they should trade for a shortstop.
Should trade for a shortstop. Here are your options. Okay, Tyler Saladino has not been good since he was called up here.
Right.
All that offense he had at AAA has not been helping him. He only has, one hit, two hits for the Brewers. You have Arcia. You could also go to Mauricio Dubon.
Yep.
So, one of those three, or do you try to upgrade it even more?
I think if you're making that run this year, and I think they are, Mm-hmm. I think you go on outside for right now. Dubon will have his time.
Yeah.
But I think if you're trying to do something to win a division this year, a tight division, yeah, you could go make a trade for a shortstop. If it doesn't empty the system, you know, this isn't Machado.
Right.
If it doesn't empty the system, yeah, they should make a trade for a shortstop. I'd be okay with it.
Okay. All right. Very well. Interesting. Number four, seven for Kevin. Is it inexcusable for Major League Baseball to not have all 30 teams play on the 4th of July? And Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider, comes on the Bill Michaels Show and on the Big Show during the week. He was complaining about this yesterday on Twitter. And he was saying, there's six teams traveling on the 4th of July. How can that be? This is supposed to be the national pastime, and you don't have everyone playing on the 4th?
Oh, dude. Seth is 10,000% right on that. I was shocked when I didn't know until I went to set my fantasy lineups yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, there's a dash next to somebody. I'm like, what do you mean there's a dash? Like, what happened? Is there a rainout or what? And I go to look and I'm like, there were six teams that didn't play on the 4th of July. Like, come on now. You know, Memorial Day is on a Monday. Labor Day is on a Monday.
Right.
So those are traditional off days for some teams. I don't necessarily buy it, but maybe you could talk me into a couple of teams being off if there's some weird schedule quirk or whatever. But the 4th of July is a time that baseball owns over everything else.
Right.
What are you fighting with? Joey Chestnut? You better own the 4th of July baseball because it's yours. And with that being the case, July 4th needs to be every team playing, and it needs to be showcases, national networks, everything, right? There's your show of force for America. Baseball all day. That blew my mind yesterday. And Seth said the words I was thinking.
He was right on the money.
It's
agree.
Inexcusable.
Yeah.
I get you're trying to get guys days off during the season, but not that day.
You know what's even more bizarre? There are some teams today on a Friday
that are off.
That are off.
Cincinnati's off, right?
The Cubs are off.
What in the world is going on? Like, I get that they built extra days into the year to try to help a little bit with the crazy schedule that baseball has. But you can do that without Friday. Like, unless they're going to London.
Right.
Like, what in the world is this? That was crazy to me.
Major League Baseball has a lot of problems. Just a ton.
They don't market well either. That's the other thing.
They don't. They really don't. All right, moving on. Question number five. Can the Bucks survive without signing a guy like Kyle Korver or Andre Iguodala?
Yeah, they can. But what they're going to be without those guys or without someone in that category is a team that will be more prone to losses next year. They were almost unbeatable in the regular season last year. They were beating everybody by double digits. But if you are missing a shooter, if you're missing someone who can get hot and sort of help your deficiencies where the other guys, you know, Giannis is going to be great almost 100% of the time, but not 100%. Middleton's going to give you something, but not 100%. No one's superhuman. And if you're missing an element, teams will take advantage of that element. They'll go from a 60-win team to a 52-win team, which is still great. But they will have moments if they don't have a shooter like that.
Well, I definitely want the Bucks to get Kyle Korver. Three teams are after him. The Bucks are one of them, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. So we'll see what happens there. Maybe something will break today. Maybe there'll be a Woj bomb. All right, two more for you, Kevin. We'll do a little bit of rapid fire. We got Jeff Hathorn coming up next from the Fan in Pittsburgh.
Works.
So Jalen Johnson, five-star kid out of Nicolet High School here in Milwaukee. He had offers from Kentucky, the Badgers, and Duke. And he goes to Duke. Not a Wisconsin Badger. Kevin, will we ever see another five-star prospect either go to Wisconsin or Marquette, a homegrown five-star prospect? Will we ever see this at a Wisconsin school?
Man, there would be a time where I'd say, of course we would, because the Badgers have made a Final Four in a championship game, right, and Marquette had an Elite Eight. But the Hauser brothers came in, and they're both gone.
Both gone.
Now, you know, Tyler Harrow went to Kentucky, and then you have now Jalen Johnson going to Duke. The crazy thing is that means Wisconsin is producing this incredible prep basketball talent, but it's not staying in state.
Sad.
Which means in the current state of affairs with Marquette and Wisconsin, no. They're going to have to change some things to get those five-star recruits in. Because it's obvious that it's not at the same level.
It's really sad.
It's obvious. Yeah, I feel bad.
Yeah. I just don't see how it will change. I don't.
Yep.
All right. Question number seven. Seven for Kevin. Is Joey Chestnut an athlete? He was... Someone on ESPN yesterday said he is an athlete.
That's an amazing ability to do something specific with your body. But that something is cramming yourself full of food. Ooh. I mean, it's... He is someone who is capable of an impressive feat. I don't think it's an athletic feat, though. I can't do it.
I can't do it.
But
I think all of you listening can eat 71 hot dogs.
But the idea between, you know, if you're talking about an athlete, someone who is capable of doing these, whether it's hitting a baseball or hitting a touch pass from this distance or a long pass, you know, these are athletic feats.
Dunking a basketball.
Right. I can't do that. And definitely not now. Two bad legs now. I'm slower than a third-string catcher these days. But the idea that his talent has to do with food that's in front of him and stuffing it in his body, it's impressive. It's not athletic.
It's Kevin Holden, CBS 58, Telemundo, Wisconsin. That was seven for Kevin. I'm Radio Joe. Coming up on the other side, we'll get the lowdown on the Pittsburgh Pirates as the Brewers take them on beginning tonight. Jeff Hathorn from 93.7 The Fan will join us next here on Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Good morning. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins here in the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. No Chuck, no Bart. Radio Joe in for Bart. Kevin Holden, CBS 58, in for Chuck. Brewers and Pirates get underway tonight. Zach Davies gets a start for the Crew. And joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from 93.7, The Fan. He's working like us today. Sports director Jeff Hathorn. Jeff, good morning. What's going on?
Joe, Kevin, you know, the beauty of this is there's no traffic. And once you can actually get out of bed in the morning, it's not so bad. It's just that first part of the day.
Yeah, I know that feeling. It is also weird waking up early and it's actually bright out at 5 a.m. I'm not really used to that. It might be a little bit different in Pittsburgh based on the time zones and stuff, but here, getting here, 5 a.m. and it's bright, that's just unusual to me. I have to ask you, Jeff, was peace made yesterday between Joe Maddon and Clint Hurdle?
I just wish they would have fought. You know, let's just get it over with. It was interesting, post-game, Madden's, I got a glass of wine and admits he had gone through a bottle during the time he was away after he got tossed from the game. You know, I understand. He's under a lot of pressure. His team is underperforming, and he's trying to get a little spark going. I just have an issue with a manager or somebody that thinks that everybody that throws inside on a lot of hitters that are crowding the plate is, you know, looking to injure their guys. I think he's just looking to get the guy out. And, you know, I think that was just more of a show for his team to kind of wake them up from this listless play that they've been doing. But, you know, Hurdle was pretty, he took high road on it. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen. Next Friday, Pirates and Cubs in Chicago, and Maddon said he can't wait for them to be there. And he issued a veiled threat about, you know, if they throw inside, it could get really interesting. So we'll see.
Maybe we'll just go down there. Instead of covering the Brewers, we'll cover the Cubs and Pirates for a weekend.
I mean, let's be real. I think Brewers and Pirates fans can definitely agree we all hate the Cubs. So.
Yes.
Yes, we can.
I think there'd be allies. It could be I know our tailgating between our two cities. I mean, we'd dwarf Chicago. They wouldn't have a chance.
Please. It's minor league there compared to the Pittsburghs and Milwaukees of the world. Now, the interesting thing about this division, you've got five teams so close together. The only team in the NL Central who's over 500 in their last 10 are the Pirates. They've been playing well. They've had some big wins over good teams like Houston. So, for the fans in Pittsburgh, Jeff, is it more that they look at the part of the standings where they're only three games back, or are they looking at the wins and losses? How is the optimism there?
It's okay, and I hedge that because you're so conditioned being Pirate fans, to kind of think worst case scenario with situations. So you're kind of excited of the fact that you're only three games back, and there is excitement. I think actually in this town there's more excitement over Josh Bell than there is over the team itself. I think fans are really getting into him and going to the ballpark to watch him. And yeah, this team success is really nice. But we've seen this before. Last year, the Pirates got hot right before the trade deadline, made the big Chris Archer trade, and then faded. And we've seen a lot of bad Septembers over the years. So I think there's cautious optimism, but I think there's also some realism of, okay, it's the tightest division in baseball. The Pirates are only a half game out of the cellar, being three games out of first place as well. So we'll see how these next few weeks play out. And, you know, a big weekend for the Pirates against Milwaukee could change some attitudes here.
Talking with Jeff Hathorn of 93.7 The Fan out in Pittsburgh here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. I mean, yeah, Josh Bell has been, it's been an amazing year for him, but the odd part of it is he hasn't really played all that well against the Brewers. He's got to be one of the X factors in this series. I mean, if his bat can get going, it's going to go a long way for him.
Yeah, and he had a really bad June. He only hit .208 with four homers in June, and of course started off July with that three-homer game against the Cubs. So it was a really nice start to the month. And, you know, yeah, this offense rolls around Josh Bell. Some other guys have had some really nice years. Newman and Reynolds and Melky Cabrera, what a steal he has been to a minor league contract in spring training. So, yeah, they've had guys step up, but it's all around Josh Bell. And no one can give them quick runs in that lineup. As much as Marte has some power, like Josh Bell can, and if he's going, and it's amazing because, as you guys know, other guys get some pitches and it kind of steamrolls.
You've got Stephen Brault, you've got Williams, you've got Musgrove as the three starters in this series. Who would you be looking at among those three to be the toughest face for the Brewers, the one that would have the best chance of success this weekend?
Musgrove, I love how he competes, and he gets up for big games. He's got the mentality that you love if you're a teammate of his. And, you know, it's the last game before the break. He'll be ready to go. Williams has been a little iffy. He's only made a couple of starts since returning from injury. He's given up some runs. He hasn't looked as sharp. And he's a guy that really took a couple of months to get his game going last year. So I would think that for the Pirates' standpoint, Musgrove is their best chance. And Brault's been a journeyman. He's pitched some decent games, but, you know, he can explode as well on paper. And this is a big advantage, it would seem, to be for the Brewers tonight.
Well, the Brewers don't have to deal with Chris Archer. But I the thing is with Archer, he's not having a stellar year by any means. Is there significant regret, Jeff, about trading for Chris Archer? Because I always say, thanks to the Milwaukee Brewers last year for losing five straight to the Pirates, that opened the door for the Pirates to be buyers. So, I mean, is there a lot of regret, you know, going after Chris Archer?
I think many fans here would say, damn you, Milwaukee. You killed us. Austin Meadows is an all-star. We traded him to get Chris Archer, who's been, he goes five innings and gives up three, four, five runs. Chris Archer's a nice guy. He shows a lot of emotion. He cares. But, you know, they brought him in to win big games against big teams, and he just hasn't done that. He's been, at best, an average fourth, fifth starter. And, yeah, there is a lot of regret. Tyler Glasnow got off to a great start with Tampa Bay, where he was nearly unhittable.
Yeah.
And he's been dealing with injuries. So, it's kind of softened the blow for Pirate fans a little bit. But there's another minor league pitcher who's been doing really well for Tampa that was a part of that deal. So, yeah, there's a lot of regret. And I think for some Pirates fans, as the trade deadline comes, they're kind of thinking, maybe we just don't do anything. Don't get rid of our prospects.
Yeah, and that's going to be very interesting to see, because I'm a prospect guy. I like prospects. But I think with the Brewers and their situation, as long as they stay where they need to be here the next couple of weeks, I think they're going to have to part with some of their guys to really go for this, because the attitude in this city, Brewer fans want to get back to where they were last year. They want to get to a World Series. They came so close. So we shall see. This NL Central, Jeff, it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't remember it being this competitive at this point of the season. So we shall see. Brewers and Pirates tonight get underway. Jeff Hathorn from 93.7 The Fan out in Pittsburgh. Jeff, we appreciate it as always, and have a good weekend.
Joe, Kevin, happy 5th.
Yes. Yes, you as well.
Hangover day.
Yeah, right. All right, there's Jeff Hathorn joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? We'll look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. He's Kevin Holden, CBS 58. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola. We're in for the guys today. Coming up, we're going to talk more Brewers. We're going to ask J.R. Radcliffe of the Journal Sentinel, who joins us in studio. Overrated or underrated are the Milwaukee Brewers? What do you think? We'll talk about that next here on The Fan. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Good morning, Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins here in the Bryan and Stratton College Athletic Studios. He's Kevin Holden, CBS 58, Telemundo, Wisconsin. I'm Radio Joe from the Bill Michaels Show, which is coming up at 10 this morning. Feel free to get in for your chance to win a pair of Summerfest tickets. Use the hashtag CWTickets. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Is competitive eating a sport? You saw Joey Chestnut win the hot dog eating contest again for like the 12th straight year or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into competitive eating. I watched the 30 for 30 the other night. Very fascinating. But come on, is it a sport? Use the hashtag CWTickets, tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan, and we'll try to get you a pair of Summerfest tickets as Summerfest is almost over. Joining us in studio for a couple of segments, hanging out from the Journal Sentinel. You can check out all of his cool stuff because he does a lot of cool stuff. J.R. Radcliffe. J.R., I will ask you first and foremost, is competitive eating a sport?
Okay, so I look at it like this. I ask a similar question, is MMA a sport? And I think the answer is obviously yes. But the people who are into it are very niche, so it's sort of, I think it sort of falls into that category of, I don't know if, how much I care because it's kind of on its own, it's its own niche, and I mean, yeah, ESPN broadcasts all kinds of stuff, like the spelling bee and bowling once upon a time,
yep.
And I know those things aren't technically sports as we define them, but who cares? It's for a niche audience, so, you know, for me, it doesn't really matter. I am not going to watch competitive eating, that is, even the 30 for 30, it came on, we were out at the bar, and I couldn't even look at those TVs, man. It was disgusting.
you couldn't watch guys eating whole turkeys?
Dude, it's bowls of spaghetti. It was the spaghetti that really got me. They came back from a break, and suddenly Kobayashi's just pouring over spaghetti, and I just like, oh, I will not have another drink. I'm ready to go. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, they were going through, like, Kobayashi doesn't sit there on his off days and eats, you know, 50, 60 hot dogs to practice. He practices the art of doing it, so he will, it's just all the motions. It's breaking the hot dogs in half, getting that in your mouth, and then while you're doing that, then you're dunking the buns in hot water. It's not cold water. You gotta have hot water because
I'm legitimately struggling to, like, even describing it is making me sick to my stomach.
It's just, it's really bizarre, and most of these guys, even Chestnut, they stay in pretty good shape. It's just, it's the art of getting it down as fast as you can and doing that in the course of 10 minutes. I think, I don't know. It feels like a sport, but it's not a sport. All right, so JR, we wanted to talk some Brewers because you and me, we've had a lot of conversations on Twitter about certain stuff. We've debated the whole Hiro Shaw thing. Is this Brewers team overrated or underrated? They can't score runs. They can't take advantage of hitting in ballparks that allow home runs to happen at a high rate. Where do you see the Brewers right now?
I mean, I think at four, I'll take the cop-out answer, at four games over 500, they're probably rated exactly where they should be at this point. I think they're in trouble, if that's probably, in my mind, a better way to look at it. This is not a situation they were in even the last couple of years. In 07, they were comfortably in first place at the All-Star break. They had them, you know, they just haven't clicked on offense. And I think the starters haven't clicked either, and I do think that's more important ultimately than the offense. We saw that last week when they weren't hitting anything, and they still won 3 out of 5 games, you know, going into yesterday, I guess. But that turn through the rotation, they had won 3 of 5 because their starters were so good, and the two they lost were really close. So as long as the starters are good, they have a chance, especially in a division where nobody else is doing anything. But yeah, it's been really tough. And you look back at last year's stats, and I think you could safely argue that's your second and third best offensive player last year, better than Lorenzo Cain, talking about Travis Shaw and Jesus Aguilar, to basically lose those guys, to have them go completely missing. That's tough. You can't just take your second and third best offensive players and just subtract them for nothing. I mean, they would have replaced them if they thought this was going to happen. So the fact that that's just not coming around is I'm pretty worried about it. I don't know if I see this just all, you know, automatically solving itself.
Frank_Kaz tweeted, I think you asked, are they overrated or underrated? Mm-hmm. I think they are PG-13. That is one of the responses of the year, because they are kind of PG-13, right? Like they're not tough. You know, they're not rated R. You know, other teams around the league, I think, don't have the same fear of the Brewers that they do with Yelich, but I don't know about the other guys. And especially not the pitching. And that's the thing, JR, is like Woodruff looks really good. And Chacin, I think, can be there, but you got to fill five spots in the rotation. How do you do that beyond those two?
Especially because they're not moving on from Zach Davies, and honestly, they shouldn't. I mean, he's not a strikeout guy. He's going to be reliant on a catcher who can frame the ball well, an umpire with a favorable zone. You know, those are the things that kind of have to be in place for him to have a dominant start. But he's good enough to keep going. You know, Chase Anderson, I think we view him as replaceable, but he's been fine. I mean, you could do worse. Other staffs in the National League absolutely do worse than the guys that the Brewers have. You know, I think it'd be nice if either Freddie Peralta or Corbin Burns could demonstrate the consistency to be a guy in the rotation as well. But they just don't have the options. They've got a lot of options, but nobody that's markedly better than the guys that are in there now. That's kind of been a frustrating thing. I think you go back to the beginning of the year and you say, if one of those three, you know, quote unquote young guys, Woodruff, Peralta, and Burns, turns into a stud pitcher, you'd be pretty happy about that. One guy has, Brandon Woodruff really has, taken kind of a star turn. But with Burns and Peralta right now, just, you know, you can't even trust them to start games at all right now. That's been the tough thing, is that two and three didn't just not become stars. They are not in the starting rotation anymore.
J.R. Radcliffe from the Journal Sentinel hanging out with us in studio. Look, I have not heard this talked about at all, whether it's on this station or on Twitter. No one has really brought this up. But when we're talking about trades and what the Brewers are willing to part with, you mentioned Corbin Burns and Freddie Peralta. Would you be open to moving one of those two guys to get somebody?
I mean, you have to be open to it at this point. I guess I look at it like Corbin Burns, to move him would require a discount for what they value him differently than other teams are going to value him right now. So to me, that's not really a starter. They're not going to get somebody back at the level if they had traded Corbin Burns, say, last year. So they're not going to do that.
But don't you think, with all the upside and how fast it took for Corbin Burns to get to the big league level, and the fact he can throw four different pitches, wouldn't that still be intriguing, though, for a team that's rebuilding that would want to really take a chance on him in a rotation?
I guess it's possible. I don't think any team is looking at that and thinking that we definitely... Yeah, but I see what you're saying, because he's an enigma. His stats are horrendous, but yet then he'll go innings, back-to-back innings, where he just crushes people. And we saw what he did last year, so we know he can pitch at the big league level in some capacity.
And in the postseason.
No doubt. He was excellent.
They would want to buy low on someone like that.
Right.
David Stearns is not a sell-low kind of guy. That's the only thing.
Right. I do not think the Brewers will find somebody willing to say, here is a top, like here's a Will Smith, or here's a Kirby Yates. You know, those teams that are potentially selling, they're not giving up that stuff for just Corbin Burns. And Freddie Peralta, I look at him, and I mean, he's 23 years old. A lot of the prospects you're going to get, top prospects, if you're selling, they're also 23 years old. I mean, obviously, you get a lot of guys that are younger than that, but Peralta, for all intents and purposes, is the perfect blend of has had success at the big league level and is young enough where you can project him to sky's the limit. I mean, he's got to come up with a second pitch, and I know they're working on that, but I don't know if you're going to find somebody that you're going to say, wow, this guy's, you know, hey, we could get this. I mean, essentially, you're giving up a top prospect and a big leaguer at the same time, and that seems like an awful high price to pay for what I'm talking about, like a relief pitcher. They're not going to get a starter straight up for either one of those guys.
But what about a guy that doesn't have any control, that only has...
Like Madison Bumgarner. I don't think the San Francisco Giants would say one for one, we'll give you Madison Bumgarner for one of those guys. I could be wrong. you know, that's, so much of that is how the market sets. And without right. that second deadline, I honestly don't know what to expect here at the end of July.
It'd
because
be crazy.
There's only going to be a handful of teams, especially in the National League. Look at the National League. There's, like, seriously, two teams that you could say definitely not going to the playoffs, right. maybe three. There's more in the AL, but it's still, there are going to be so many teams like the Reds that we'd have thought, oh, they're probably going to sell some pieces and keep rebuilding for next year. They're not. They shouldn't. They're in great playoff shape.
Think about what has happened from a starting pitching standpoint. There was this crop of free agent pitchers that Stern said no to, and that was Arrieta and Darvish, and everybody's happy with that. Last trade deadline, Chris Archer was available, and it stung when Pittsburgh got him, and now you see what that's
Brewers
happened.
Brewers won that trade. I heard you guys talking about that last segment.
Isn't
Brewers
that
won
crazy?
That trade.
Yeah. Like, the idea is that we keep latching on. Big starter, big starter, big starter. And then every time Stern says no and that big starter doesn't pan, he looks right. Like, I'm wondering if that shouldn't change mindsets, you know, that maybe if you're gonna make trades here, then maybe it isn't a Bumgarner, that they do focus more on bullpen and just stack arms, get those Anthony Swarzak types back in here.
Yeah, definitely. I think there is a certain amount of trust, but also there's a lot of clamoring about Wade Miley right now, who was super cheap to went to Houston. I mean, I went back and looked at his numbers, and honestly, I would have absolutely made the decision they made. There was no reason to think Wade Miley would have sustained that level of success, but it looks a little rough right now. Jordan Lyles is another one, although, I mean, I don't know if Lyles sustained what he did early in the season, but two guys that they let walk for nothing, and they probably could have brought them back on really cheap deals, who have been massive for their respective teams, both teams that right now look like they have playoff aspirations, so that's tough as well.
Talking with J.R. Radcliffe of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, we'll continue this Brewers chatter. The trade stuff is just fascinating, and again, we just don't know. With all these teams that are in it right now across the National League, so many teams trying to find their identities and whether or not they want to be buyers or sellers. We'll talk more about that coming up on the other side and try to figure out how to make this Brewer offense better. Because it's not, and it's just, it's frustrating everybody. It's frustrating all of you that are listening. It's frustrating us. What needs to change? Can anything change? We'll talk more about that coming up. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins here on The Fan. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Good morning. Happy 5th of July. Hopefully you guys had a good 4th. Radio Joe with you alongside Kevin Olden, CBS 58, and also in studio J.R. Radcliffe of the Journal Sentinel. Talking some Brewers baseball. John and Franklin, who is a guy that calls a lot to this station and to this specific show, I know he wants to talk some Brewers. John, good morning. You're on The Fan. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to preface my call by saying I understand this. This comes from a place of love. I love this baseball team. But this baseball team is aging me. And they are overrated. And by the way, the Reds and the Pirates didn't get the memo that, you know, they weren't in this thing. And we're not doing a whole lot as of late to keep that vision out of our opponents' heads. Don't be too surprised at the end of the year when the Cubs and the Brewers are both out of this thing. Because that's the way these two teams are playing. Brewers specifically, they are finding a way to lose these games. They literally are looking for a way to lose these games, and that is the difference between this team and the team we assembled last year. Last year, we were finding ways to win one-run games. Memory serves, they had the best record in one-run games, at least for a majority of the season, if not the whole season. Quite different this year. And no, you're not going to trade Corbin Burns. The guy's got too much upside, and you, what are you going to give these assets away? Because all these guys' values are in the pits. So you're going to get nothing back unless you find somebody that's just a crazy gambler. I mean, I just don't see that happening. I don't quite know what they're going to do. Like you said, you know, Shaw, Aguilar, all these guys underperforming. I thought Arcia was untouchable, but perhaps he isn't. And at what point do we look at the coaching staff? Does there need to be a shakeup? How come there's no in-game adjustments? You know, we are making some of these middle-of-the-road pitchers of our, especially division opponents, look like Warren Spahn, just flailing away. I mean, how many times do you swing and miss? And you're not, there's not some cognitive, you know, recognition of what's going on and what the pitcher's doing to you. And is there not some way to circumvent that? Because we've found some of our young pitchers, other teams have adjusted to them. And I don't see the Brewers improving very many of these things. And we wasted a hell of a good start yesterday. Just a good performance overall by all the pitchers. In a stupid one-run game, 23 innings without scoring. It's just inexcusable, guys.
All right, well, John, we feel your frustrations, and thanks for the call. There's a lot to take in there. First of all, I don't think any of these coaches on the Brewers need to be their jobs need to be questioned. I look. I know for some people it's hard to lose guys like Derek Johnson and Lee Tunnell. Like, I know that's tough, and I see it, but I don't know. Help me out here, guys. I don't think no one's job should be held accountable right now, right? I mean, am I missing something here?
Yeah, I would not put anybody's feet to the fire in the coaching staff. I know that Chris Hook's approval rating has gone up and down, but mm-hmm. I mean, Chris Hook's been in this organization for, I think, a decade, and he's mm-hmm. partially, you know, involved in getting a guy like Brandon Woodruff at this level and
right.
getting a guy like Freddie Peralta in the big leagues at 21 years old. So he has had a lot of success. And as for the hitting coach, I'm not convinced that there's any magic that hitting coaches, honestly, I don't know if they can do anything about it, good or bad, when a team is going good. You know, it's just, I don't know. The hitting coach is a mystery to me, but I don't know. I don't think I'm at that point, you know, to be four games over 500 with three games to go before the All-Star break. That's not a doomsday scenario. And I'm not that guy who says, oh, well, they're still in first place. You know, obviously there are major problems with this team, but I still feel like they are not, you know, they're not at a devastating point. They're not sinking. They're sinking. They're not sunk, I guess is the way to put
they're
it.
They're treading.
Treading, yes.
Treading.
And then, but they're 1-12-15 streak away from having a something sizable in the division.
Right.
And again, that's a lot to ask right now for a 12-15 with all the struggles that have gone on. But the part about in-game adjustments I thought was interesting, because I think what he's referring to, what John's talking about, is this tendency in baseball right now about shifts and adjusting to shifts, right? And he's saying that if you're a left-handed hitter and they're putting three guys on one side of the infield, there's that whole thought of why don't you just go the other way? And there's this baseball-wide, it's not just the Brewers, this baseball-wide philosophy of continuing to just swing for launch angles, swing for fly balls, uppercuts. But what's weird is you're starting to see a few teams adjust back, right? I mean, Matt Carpenter does this really well. He bunted for a double a couple weeks ago against the shift. So I think if that's the question, that is a little less a fault of the staff and a little more a philosophical idea that sometimes you're going to go through bad stretches, but they don't want to adjust in that way, a little poker to the opposite side. That's not how they're adjusting.
JR, do you want to hang out for one more segment?
Sure. Let's do it.
We are kind of up against the top of the hour.
I'm here now, man. I'll stick around. Let's do
this. Yeah, I mean, you came out here. Where'd you come from anyway?
Well,
Where do you live?
I live in Tulsa, but I had had errands to run in Hills Corner, so we're good.
Okay.
This is good.
Convenient. Very convenient. JR Radcliffe, Journal Sentinel, Kevin Olden, CBS 58, Radio Joe with you. In for the boys, Chuck and Bart. They'll be back on Monday. Evan Heffelfinger will have another update after the top of the hour, and then we'll continue on. Also next hour, a colleague of Kevin's, Scott Grodzki, CBS 58, will stop by, and we'll talk a little Packers. And I want to learn a little something about Mike Clemens and how he got into covering Packer football. Mike Clemens will join us at 9:30. That's all coming up. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. Hopefully you guys are having a good fifth. Good morning here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.